This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
What the hell's going on out here?
Luke's scared because his eyelids are jammed and his old man's here. We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present. Is that about right?
That's right.
We're dealing with a lot of shit.
Anyone ever tell you look like a penis with a little hat on?
You're out of here!
Oh, no,
right
no, no,
now,
no,
Jimmy, I heard
you misunderstood
that!
Misunderstood.
Why? What do you mean, why? We're in the championship, aren't we? Well, that's what you wanted, wasn't it? Well, just behave yourselves and act like men.
I'm not much for giving inspirational addresses. The local press seems to think we'd save everyone a lot of time and trouble if we just went out and shot ourselves.
You play ball like a girl!
I think you're a loser.
I'm a bum!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of the Bleacher Bums. I'm one part of your team, Jimbo, here. And let me welcome in my esteemed co-host back after a week out of pocket, Mr. Tony Huber.
What's Hello, going on? Jimmy. How are you?
I am pissed off.
I understood. I came into the office today, little bit of a cold, and the office scuttlebutt was you screaming and yelling about
an incident. There was an incident.
There was an altercation. There were hints and allegations as well.
Yes.
And you're fired
Paul
up.
Paul Simon reference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty good.
You can call me out.
I caught we had a Seinfeld and a Paul Simon all at once. Yes, I'm unhappy. Very unhappy. And I appreciate you trudging through, as I got the sense you were going to try to pull the, Jim, I'm sick and I appreciate it. But there was no way you were sitting out this one.
Talk
today,
to me, Buttercup.
Friend. Well, okay. First off, let me say this. I was excited to come in and talk today about the fact that I am, I'm not going to say I'm converted because I love baseball. I am 100% on board with the World Baseball Classic.
Good for you.
I am captivated by it, and I think a lot of people are. Now we've had an issue, the Mexico thing, blah, blah, which is awful. That's a complete screw-up. I don't know what their answer was there, but it was a screw-up. I will say this. I'm a former youth baseball guy. I'm a current youth baseball guy, but I was really heavy into it. The rule's correct. I'm sorry, folks. If you don't get an out, there's no inning. So,
yeah,
you know, that's how it works at the 10U level, so I guess that's how it works at the worst World Baseball Classic. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. I'm obviously joking. That's an awful thing.
I did like the quote from the Mexican team.
Well,
this is worse than the Little League World Series.
That was a tough one. But anyway, so I was all excited to come in here today and talk about, you know, everybody knows that I do the Cardinals, the St. Louis Cardinals show with Benji Molina.
Yeah.
Yachty's just having an unbelievable, World Baseball Classic.
Yachty loves this competition.
As most of the players do. What I've been encouraged by is how the USA guys have seemed to embrace that. I love it. I want them to do it in Major League Baseball, although I know the unwritten rules would come into play and prevent it.
Which unwritten rules?
Well, you know, you can't have any fun.
I think we're going to see a change there.
Well, we're going to come to that. But then that's my point. I'm really upset. I wanted to talk about what I think is one of the coolest things I've ever seen, which obviously we have to cover the Yachty to Javier Baez tag and point. Unbelievable. Because you're going to love this. I have the inside scoop on that, thanks to my relationship with Benji. He discussed it on Two Birds on a Bat yesterday. So I have the story behind it, which I, a little teaser for everybody. But I cannot do this because I want to enjoy it. So I want to get this off my chest. A tweet this morning from The Score. Actually, it's from yesterday.
What,
I didn't
The Score?
See it. Yeah, I didn't.
Up in Chicago?
Well, I'm not quite sure where they're from. They're just a rather large Twitter outfit that puts out a lot of information. This is a story.
It's kind of a generic name.
This is a story about one of my all-time villainous baseball players, a guy that I would not piss on if he was on fire.
Ty Cobb.
Not Ty Cobb. Ryan Braun from the Milwaukee Brewers, who I will always refer to as a piece of shit. Sorry, folks. Piece of
really?
Shit.
Really?
Yes.
You're going to drop the POS on him?
Right. Ryan Braun said... did an article that he is fed up with the length of spring training and actually used the term, we do not get paid by the hour. So I'm not – the reason I told you the quote before I gave you the backstory, in case you're unaware and been living under a rock about what a piece of shit Ryan Braun is, I fully want to make everybody understand that without even knowing, if you don't know the background, here is a Major League Baseball player making millions and millions, and I wish I had the Rock sound, millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And he is complaining about playing baseball in spring training and not getting paid.
And where are the Brewers at? They're in Arizona?
I don't give a shit if they're in Manitoba and it's 30 degrees outside and snowing or zero.
You got to tell you, that's a hardship.
I got to tell you.
You got to stay at a resort.
Yeah.
Or probably a home.
It's a tough one.
That you've rented for the month.
Yeah.
You've got to get up sort of early. You got to go in, do a workout.
Yep.
Oh, you got to hit off a tee. Yep. Then you got to hit off some soft toss. Then you got to hit off a live arm.
That's a tough one.
Then you got to go to the clubhouse, kick back.
Yeah.
Maybe have a protein shake.
Yeah.
Then you got to walk around.
All provided for him, probably. They didn't have to pay for it.
You got to walk around the clubhouse in your sandals, scratch your nuts some.
Yeah.
Then you got to trot out to the field, which is right next door at like 1 o'clock. You got to sit around for 4 to 5 innings of a game, have 2 or 3 at-bats, and then call it a day.
Whew. Yeah.
My God, Jimmy's worn out. He needs a break.
And here's the thing. Sometimes baseball players get a bad rap. And again, I'm not – this guy deserves every bad rap he gets. Sorry. But, you know, if there was any inkling of him possibly this being a joke, I mean, he just said, we're all in the business. Same time. We don't get paid by the hour. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. I mean, I hope this guy never gets another hit. I hope he breaks his leg.
Well, how would he like to be paid?
I don't know. Listen, this is a guy. All right, now it's time for me to give you the backstory because people are going, golly, I mean, there's a lot of people right now going, yeah, I mean, he is a baseball player, and that's kind of an odd statement for a guy that's making $1 million. And
a million?
I'm making millions of dollars.
Millions.
I'm sorry. Let me tell you a little background about this guy. This guy got popped, okay, for PED use.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on record as saying that now we're going back, what is it? Is it 5 years, 4 years, somewhere in that time frame? Okay. I'm on record as saying that while I want everybody to play by the rules, I want them to do all this kind of stuff, you know, I don't know how you differentiate who did it, who didn't do it. People think you can look at people and tell if they did it. The game was ruined because now anybody that has a great year, people automatically assume they're doing it. Any guy that lengthens his career at the end of his career is doing it. And I always say, well, then did Hank Aaron do it? Because Hank Aaron did really well for an older gentleman that played. There's always outliers. The problem is those outliers now will always be questioned because of PEDs.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
What I have a problem with. Therefore, the way I feel about it is just, I don't care, legalize it all. And then we don't have an issue. Then you know what?
Have you ever heard my take on it?
Well, I'd love to hear it in a second, but I just want to reiterate that in my world, if everything's legal and you want to choose to suscept your body to, you know, premature death maybe, mm-hmm. which again, now here's the thing. Guys like Jose Canseco, who, whether you like him or not, to this point, he's the only one that we can see that's been really forthright and honest.
Well, I think there's others who have been forthright and honest, but Jose was brutally honest.
Let me stop you. Nobody has. I'll challenge you, Tony. You got your little, as Fish says, you got your computer box in front of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I challenge you to find a gentleman in the game of Major League Baseball that has come forward and said, I'm calling this press conference today to let everybody know that I did steroids.
McGuire did.
I never failed a test. I was never accused. There was never any speculation about me doing it, but I did it.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't happened.
No, not
that's,
in that term.
That's not forthright to me. Forthright to you, obviously, and I'm sorry, my friend, is speculation. You've been caught. Now you got to deal with it. I'm sorry. It's real easy to say I'm sorry after you've been caught doing something. If you really want to be sorry about something and you want to help, address it. We don't have that going on. And people say, well, Jim, there's so much money involved in the game in itself. And hey, you talk about a double-edged sword. You can believe whatever you want to believe, but I lived through it, and I was in my young adult days just smart enough to know the difference, and I'm here to tell you, Sammy Sosa and Mark McGuire saved baseball. It wouldn't be the game we know today if it didn't happen. I assure you.
Yeah.
Now, baseball may have come up with something to help the game.
Sure.
But this one fell right in their laps, and everybody stuck their head in the sand, and who paid the price at the end? The players.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
They did.
Now, let's get on to this guy, because here's the deal, and this is what's going to be funny. He got popped.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't even care about that. That's the thing. People are going to go, oh, well, he doesn't, you know, Jimbo don't like him because the guy did steroids. I don't care. I really don't care. If that's what you want to do, I do a lot of things behind closed doors that people probably wouldn't like. I'm not going to talk about
what?
Sure.
What?
I'm not going to talk
about something
freaky. Well, you know. So my point is, I really don't care. There are rules now, and I expect you to follow the rules. Now, way back when some of those guys were doing it, it technically wasn't against the rules, even though it was against the law. So there's another gray area we got, right? This is my problem with this guy, okay? He fails the test, okay?
Yes.
I think, and this is going back a while, but I'm pretty sure the gentleman that delivered the sample maybe worked for FedEx. I tried to check my facts on this. It's an old story. They give the gentleman's name, and it's Dino Lorenzi Jr. He was the sample collector, okay? I guess he took it to FedEx maybe, and it was closed. So he kept everything sealed up, took it home, did it the next day. If my recollection serves me, I couldn't find the exact things. I found a lot of apologies and things like that. But the bottom line is, once the test gets delivered, it shows that Brian Braun has failed the test. Well, there's a protocol and a procedure.
Sure.
Ryan Braun's attorney, doing his due diligence, finds out that the procedure was not followed and the sample was not delivered straight from the sampling process, and it waited a day.
See, what had happened was he had been watching the OJ case.
Right. So,
and he learned from the LAPD that chain of evidence is a biggie.
And as on King of Queens, we learned the term chain of causation.
Hmm.
Yes, that was a good one. So anyway, this gentleman says this, that comes up, and what does Mr. Braun's attorney say? And what does Mr. Braun say? I've never done. Now, this is where the lying starts, for sure. I've never done anything wrong. He must have tampered with my sample.
Must have.
Must have. That's the only explanation, is that time frame between when you left here and you, why would you do that? Well, he told him why he did it. And nothing unsealed, everything still intact.
Mm-hmm. This happened in Wisconsin, right? Or was it in Florida?
Not
Arizona?
Doesn't matter. Could have happened down the street. I don't care.
Seems like the case of making a murderer, too, where they had the blood vial.
So here's where I get crazy about this. This guy, worth millions of dollars, a professional baseball player, that at this juncture knows what he did, tries to get out of it on a technicality by trying to ruin a innocent human being.
Sure.
See, here's the problem with America. Back in the day, he would have got his ass kicked. Somebody would have beat the shit out of him.
Probably.
Okay? That's what's wrong with this place.
So do you want to go beat him up?
Yes, I do. I want to fight him right
now. Catch a flight to Milwaukee or Arizona. Go get him.
If he's listening to the show,
Jimbo,
I'd like to fight you right now.
I never liked the guy.
He is a...
Can I just say that?
If he was on fire, I wouldn't piss on him.
Really?
Nope. Listen, it's one thing to do something wrong and you deal with the consequences, even if you want to be a liar and deny, like the whole Barry Bonds thing. He can deny, and bury his head in the sand and hope it just goes away. But at the end, though, okay, and this is the thing, while Barry Bonds lived a very charmed life, he has reaped what he sowed, right? Like, let's look at Barry Bonds after. See, here's the thing. He's got all these great memories and he did all this great stuff, but what's he got now? He's got nothing.
No.
Besides a bunch of money.
Well,
what he's got is nobody wants him around.
No.
The Hall of Fame doesn't want him.
No.
Okay.
He won't get to enjoy the fruits of what was an amazing career and what would have been an amazing career had he not taken steroids.
That's right.
He still would have been fantastic.
And through the whole PED process, what have we shown as a society? The one thing that I assure you that is proven that we have shown as a society.
We're very forgiving.
We're very forgiving. Very good, Tony. And here's what I mean by that, okay? Do you ever hear anybody say a bad word about Andy Pettit?
No.
No? And he actually goes against what I said, too. He didn't say anything until he got caught.
Right.
But at least when he did get caught, he come out and said, yeah, I did.
He owned it.
There's other guys that have done that rather quickly.
Yeah.
And I think they've experienced the same thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Whether it's college football, what got Jim Tressel in trouble wasn't the violations. Was lying.
Well,
people understand that people make bad decisions or decisions that they may not agree with. What people do not understand is lying when caught red-handed or, as you say, trying to throw another human under the bus for a problem that is yours. Yeah. That's the problem. Now, Ryan Braun, I've just never liked the guy. I don't like how he handles himself on a field. I don't like how his Brewer teammates handled certain things on the field. Am I one of those old school sort of frumpy guys? I thought the celebration where they would all get together at home plate and fall down was stupid. Now, the jersey untuck thing, I didn't mind that. I thought that was kind of cool. But, you know, I just never liked him.
Douche bag. So,
and you know why? I mean, I've spent a lot of time at ballparks in my life, Jim. You learn a lot about players by how they interact with each other and the fans. You can see it. It's pretty clear.
And here's my deal with him too. Like I said, he received a suspension, even though, you know, he gave a speech after winning his appeal of the positive drug test, pointing, you know, the drug program is flawed. He pointed fingers at Lorenzi Jr. For possible tampering. Yeah. And since that day, he still denies ever doing anything.
Great.
Okay, so listen, let me tell you something. If I didn't do something, I'm certainly not accepting any suspension. Right? It's like the defamation stuff. How's defamation work? I'll tell you how it works. When you go to an attorney and say, this guy is defaming me, it's defamation of character. The guy says, yeah, we can sue him for that. Now, mind you, they're going to really look at you.
Yeah.
If there's any way, shape, or form that anything he's saying is true, remotely true, disparaging towards you, it's going to come up.
Sure.
And if it does, you have no defamation thing.
Yeah.
And that's why typically when these guys run their mouth, I'm going to sue you for defamation, it never happens. Okay? Where there's smoke, there is fire, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. I am sorry. It is an age-old comment that holds true today. I don't believe in coincidences. Where there's smoke, there's fire. So, and this guy, speaking of fire, I hope burns in hell.
Well, you know, playing this game is a privilege. It really is. Oh. You're gifted enough to be able to do this with your life. While 99.99999% of everyone else is going off to a job, sitting in an office, or manual labor, or looking for a job, and you're getting to play the children's game.
You're getting
to play the children's game. Because remember that classic line. At some point, everyone gets tapped on the shoulder and told, you don't get to play the kids' game anymore.
Well, and you know,
you're going to bitch about it? You're going to bitch that spring training?
Well, and that's the thing. So the finish up here is that what we got from him at the end of all of it was a written apology. The typical, and I'm sorry, bullshit, right? Typical bullshit apology, right? Hey, you know what? He may have off the record given this guy a bunch of money. I don't know.
I don't know.
He may have. I don't care.
I don't want to conjecture.
This isn't about that. I don't care about that. Well, he made restitution. I don't care. This is about who you are as a person. You showed your true colors of who you are.
Yeah.
I always say, you know, a tiger will reveal its stripes at some juncture.
They always do.
And this guy's a piece of shit. And for the most part, he's kind of stayed out of the limelight for a while.
Well, he's in Milwaukee. Also, right. So that helps.
So, you know, I would say this, even though I've never liked him since that point, for sure, he's kind of done a good job of staying off my radar anyway. Not that you got to worry about my
radar.
Again,
he's in Milwaukee.
Okay. But then just
Jim,
why,
if I moved to Milwaukee, I'd be off your radar.
Why would you do that? Why would you say something like
because
that?
Because you're a douche.
Nobody cares what you say. You're not a star. Nobody cares. Nobody really cares.
There's no upside to these comments at all.
Nobody really cares.
Can I tell you how to handle the PED thing?
Okay. Well, yeah, we talked about it.
You are okay with players taking, correct?
Hey, hang on real quick. I do want to say we do have a Twitter follower that I love his response to me saying that we were going to deal with this piece of shit today. He says, Andy hasn't played a full season since his illegal discretions and his millions. Mm-hmm. There's a job picking up dog shit at my park.
Yeah.
I love it. Hey, maybe he should apply. Good. I like it. Good stuff. Strong. Real strong. And again, a Milwaukee fan out there, Brewer fan, I'm sorry if you feel like we're doing this to you. We're not. I feel sorry for you. I really do.
No,
and maybe you don't want my sympathies and that because, listen, when it's your guy, I get it. You want to give him a pass, okay? Remember, this has nothing to do with PED use. My issue with him has nothing to do with PED use. I have my own opinions of PED use. I know what I think. and I'm completely probably – there is no right or wrong in my opinion on it. Although some people say, yes, there is, Jim. You don't do it. It's illegal. Okay, that's fine. Well,
that's one way.
I got it.
I have another solution,
I got that.
Though.
So I want to hear your solution, but I'm apologizing to Milwaukee fan just in case – They think this is an attack on them.
You ever been up to Miller Park?
Yes, I have.
It's beautiful.
Yes,
I love it.
Yes, it is.
It's my wife's favorite ballpark to visit.
Awesome. So again,
you know why?
I feel sorry for them.
Food is terrific.
Well, sure.
And the Brewers usually are pretty entertaining.
Would you expect anything less?
In Milwaukee?
Yeah.
Well, I like a different beer selection.
Well, anyway. All right, to you, sir.
All right, here's how you handle
it. You've earned a minute here to...
Very simple, very short.
All right.
I have advocated this in the Olympics. Because I learned this from horse racing.
Yep.
And our good friend, John O'Kabingian.
Oh, okay.
It's called the inverted L.
That has something to do with horses, I'm sure.
Okay. When a horse is on an enhancement drug such as Lasix, which can mask other things, it is disclosed in your daily racing form.
Oh, okay.
All right. Now, here's what I would like. Because here's where I think that Mark McGuire missed the boat entirely in front of the United States Congress.
Right.
He was asked a question by, I believe, an Indiana senator or representative about the motivation for taking something. And he invoked, you know, his privilege and everything.
Oh, yeah.
But the motivation was actually, for McGuire, I think was very clear. He was getting older, and he had stated before, you know, hey, it takes a long time to recover.
Sure.
You know, to recover from an injury or to recover from just your basic – you know, routine of working out. Does it make you better? Does it make you unnaturally stronger? Mm-hmm. Yeah, perhaps, but I don't really care. It's a show. I want a good show.
Right.
I want a great show, in fact.
Right.
And what we saw in 98 was a great show, and it continued to be a good show for the following couple years. I thought it was a lot of fun. But because young kids started to use them and it became problematic, and kids like Tyler Houghton down in Dallas committed suicide. And one of the factors may have been that he was on a steroid. May have been. You need to address the issue. And here's how you do it. If you're using, you come up to the plate. We always see three things. Your batting average, your home runs, and your RBIs. Okay. And then we should see what you're on. Currently taking androdiazidone.
Mark McGuire with 70 home runs, 280 batting average with 101 RBIs,
and then
also on androstenedione.
Yeah, and
that's
then there should be the disclaimer like they have on cigarettes.
Okay.
Because here's the fact of the matter. I have a son who, when he had to go to the doctor and told you know, when the physician says, you know, you got this asthmatic thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to put you on a steroid. Mm-hmm. Well, he lost it. He got all bent out of shape, Jim, because he thinks they're bad. The fact of the matter is steroids are introduced all the time.
Steroids is bad.
And by the way, you can thank me for that cut. That was my I mean, McGuire said it, but Jesus, did I play the hell out of that on St. Louis radio.
Steroids is bad.
I think that was Kevin Slayton's favorite cut.
I mean, the comments that came out of that, steroids is bad, was a good one. And then the finger pointing, I have never.
That's why Rafael Palmeiro has no leg to stand on.
Yep, never.
Okay?
He's out. Sad.
So just disclose it and say why you're taking it. Hey, I've had this.
You had me until then.
No.
Because again, now what are we? We're always taking them for recovery or injuries. I want one guy to go, you know what? Let me tell you why I took them.
Yeah, because it helped me hit the ball 50 feet farther.
Yep. One guy did say, was it Juan Gonzalez that said I wanted to look good in my uniform? Somebody said that.
You got Braun as your piece of shit. Can I have a piece of shit for the day?
Damn, go ahead.
Sammy Sosa.
Well, the greatest locker room interview ever. Ever. I think.
I'll go you one better.
He gets taunted by a reporter, and he says, man, what are you talking about? I'll take a test anytime, anywhere.
By the way, speaking good English.
Yes, speaking great English. Calls down the street. Guy says, hey, we can go down there right now. They'll see us. Oh, I can't do that. The Players Union won't let me do it. Oh, my God.
Here's how much I dislike Sosa. And I've never told you this before.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
Now, he was on the juice. He used a cork bat. Mm-hmm. And he played in Wrigley Field. Now, those three things, you know, come on. That's That there's a reason you're going to hit 60 home runs. Here's why I don't like them. None of those things bother me. What bothers me is that I know for a fact he would ask the clubhouse attendant to alter his jersey to tighten up the arms to make his biceps look bigger. The Cubs jersey guy at the time would have to rip the seam out and then sew it back in tighter. He would have to alter the jersey. That kind of vanity is deplorable.
Yeah, I get you. And that can be a personal, that vanity, whatever.
No,
I got you. I got you.
The fucking uniform. Put the uniform on and go play ball.
I got you.
That shows more to character than anything, right?
Well, it just shows who you are and what you do. So, anyway, I just had to address this today because this guy, you know what this dangerously sounds like? A new segment. Piece of shit of the day.
Yeah,
piece of shit of the week. Piece of shit of the month.
I hate to rag on baseball because
I do too. I don't want to either. But this guy's what's wrong with it. I will tell you that. I don't like him. I hope he. Oh, okay. So
you ready for some WBC talk?
Let's get happy.
Can I?
Let's get happy.
Can I run down something for you?
Well,
and
go ahead.
Tell me.
Go ahead.
Tell me, Jimbo, if you would take this, batting order, and go play ball in any of the divisions in baseball.
Okay.
Leading off Altuve.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Prado.
He's all right.
Miguel Cabrera.
Pretty good.
Victor Martinez.
All right, Rabbit.
Odor.
Not bad.
Alcides Escobar.
Pretty good.
Carlos Gonzalez.
I might, Rabbit.
Batting eighth, and your catcher, Chirinos.
Okay.
And your center fielder, batting ninth, Inciarte.
Yeah. Okay. Not bad.
Okay. I would go play ball with this team. Now, granted, when we go through the pitching, you may see the problem.
That is the problem.
Okay. But
give me the pitchers. The notable ones.
Well, here's your starting pitcher.
Because then I'm gonna ask you a tough question.
Here's the starting pitcher from that game, Felix Hernandez. I just gave you the lineup that Venezuela trotted out in San Diego on Wednesday night against the United States in a great game that they would lose 4-2. With a late rally by the U.S., okay?
Big hit by Andrew Jones, home run.
Yeah, huge hit. And Andrew Jones doing it in his hometown, which was kind of cool.
Sure.
All right? I would go play ball with that team. Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic. These are not just throwing together teams. These are great, great lineups. And, folks, if you're not paying attention to this World Baseball Classic, or if you live in a city where you can get to a game, because my cousin is driving down to Petco from L.A.
Right.
tomorrow to watch the games this weekend.
So let me ask you a question.
That is good stuff, man.
So let me ask you a question. So you just gave us Team Venezuela's lineup. If they played a full season in the major leagues, what do you think their record is at the end?
They'd have a hard time getting the 500 because of the pitching. Yeah.
Okay.
I just said the lineup.
Right.
1 through 9, I can compete.
Okay.
I think where it really falls off is starters 3, 4, 5 and bullpen.
Sure. Okay.
Because you just can't keep going to your big horses, as we all know. You'd have to get more depth. But just in terms of these batting orders, these starting nine, this is good stuff.
Yeah, it's been amazing. And we talked a little bit last week, Tony, when you in your absence, Corey joined me, and I talked about I didn't mean it like in a terrible way. We had some interesting comments come from people on it. But the reality of it is, while the USA roster obviously is filled with great baseball players, there are people that are noticeably absent. I can go right through the big ones, right out of the gate, and being Kershaw, Bumgarner.
Yeah.
Mike Trout, Bryce Harper. I mean, we can go on and on.
Well, they should be playing.
Okay.
If you're going to make this serious.
Well.
I mean, this is like Ronaldo not playing in a World Cup.
Yeah.
Okay, if you're going to make it serious, get the big guns in there and incentivize them to get in.
Well, so my thing is on this, so they're not playing, but yet it's baseball, and these guys are all uber talented. So, you know, there's a variety of things, as we saw evidenced by the last game. It just takes, you know, a big hit here or something here, something there. So I'm good with that for sure. But I would have liked to have seen them. Plus, what I've been captivated a little bit by the USA is they seem to be embracing, is that a word to use in this instance? Embracing the heightened level of fun and excitement. So they not as much as the Latin players, but they do seem to be enjoying it and getting, you know, the moment, living in the moment. Let's use that, because I like that, living in the moment. So, obviously, and again, I mentioned it earlier, I do a show called Two Birds on a Bat, because the Bleacher Bums is done out of lineupmedia.fm studios, and we are located in Edwardsville, Illinois, which is right outside of St. Louis. My first team, and always will be, is the St. Louis Cardinals, although I love the game of baseball, mm-hmm. which is where this show spawned from. Because I love all baseball. It's not like other sports. I really don't have any interest. Like when the Rams were here, I love to watch the Rams. I don't want to watch other football teams. The Blues, I love the Blues. I love hockey too, but I'm not that interested in other teams. I love the Blues. When it comes to baseball, I can watch any baseball game anytime and enjoy the game of baseball because it's my favorite sport.
Me too.
Okay, so that being said, after we started Bleacher Bums, I started a show because of my relationship that was forming with Yadier Molina's brother, Benji Molina, through my youth baseball show. And Benji and I started talking about doing a Cardinal show together, and we did. So my relationship with Benji, while he's not my best friend in the world, I do talk to him multiple times per week, and we text and have a lot of fun with the game of baseball through the Cardinals' eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, the other night, obviously I've been paying attention. Yadi's one of my favorite players of all time. So I'm watching the Puerto Rico game the other night against the Dominican. This is paramount to you know, when you were a kid and you played your crosstown rivals in a game of stickball or anything that was important to you, that's what it looked like to me out there. It looked like guys that were ready to go to war while having fun on a national stage. And let me tell you something. It was great TV. And if you didn't watch it, I got to tell you, you really missed out. Now, the great thing about today's world with social media and everything like that is you can go anywhere and find I've seen it 100 times. There's like a minute clip on here that'll give you all the unbelievable highlights. And when you see him, you're going to be like, I can't believe I didn't do this. So think about this. So Puerto Rico, which has a great roster as well, and it's Carlos Correa, Javier Baez, Yadier Molina.
Let me see Puerto Rico's
He's
last.
The de facto leader on the team. They've got some good. Isn't Lindor from there, I think? Francisco
Let's
Lindor.
See what Puerto Rico threw out here the last game against the DR.
While you're looking that up.
Look at this.
Yeah,
look at
give
this.
Me the okay. lineup.
Pagan, Lindor.
And Angel Pagan, Francisco
Carrera,
Lindor, Carlos Correa.
Beltran, Molina, Baez.
Hey, how about this? So Francisco Lindor from the Cleveland Indians, the great young talented shortstop, plays third base in this thing because Carlos Correa. Is it short? Is that not amazing?
Well, what's funny is they have Correa listed at third base on this on the box.
Well, I think
score
they. I thought
site.
I saw something that said Lindor. Maybe they switched. I don't know, but I thought Who I knows? Saw where Lindor was going to do it. But that's
so,
fine.
So Baez, Rosario, Rivera, Fuentes.
Yeah.
Again, that's a batting order. I'd go
now. They have, who's I'd, their pitching? They have. Give me some of their pitchers. They've got some good pitchers, I think.
Well, let's see. Who pitched in this game was Santiago got that win. Jimenez got the hold. Colon got a hold. Diaz
right.
got a hold.
Right.
I'm looking for their entire roster.
Yeah, that Edward Diaz, the young superstar in Seattle, right? I'm pretty sure. So, okay, so you got to set the stage on this, right? This is like, and Benji referenced it on the show, you talk about just your juices just flowing and boiling, right? So Yadi, who's the de facto leader of this club, right? I mean, everybody's seen it. If you haven't, you know, a lot of them have dyed their hair blonde and they're having a great time and fun with this. So they come right out. They get the bases loaded and nobody out. And they get an out. And then we get a fly ball to right field. And I think it was Rosario throws a cannon home on a banger. And Yadi makes.
He threw a Dave Parker 1976 All-Star game strike is
but
what he did.
Still took an unbelievable quick swipe tag from Yadi. And the emotion flowing was unreal. So then Yadi comes up and faces his current teammate and great friend Carlos Martinez and gets himself a little flare base hit that scores a run to put him. I mean, it's just theater, right? Well, then our man Yadi comes up and hits a home run, puts him in the lead. You know, the place is going crazy. Later on in the game, Puerto Rico's up 3-1, and this is where, you know, I wanted to go with because this has kind of been jockeyed back and forth throughout all of baseball social media. Javier Baez is the young, talented player from Chicago that really last year kind of came on the scene as a multi-positional athlete that can do a lot of things and sometimes looks to be just the guy. I mean, looks like a guy that you move around, but at any time you could put him somewhere and he could be an all-star. That's what he looks like, right? So one of the neat things about Baez that was highlighted, actually, was what an unbelievable tagger he is. It's been you talk about being on cue. This was going around on social media before this game, and it was a quick video, and it was just showing how quick he's able to take the ball into the tag and how good he has it. It's just a skill. It's like anything else, right?
Yeah, but you got to admit,
okay,
Jim.
Yeah.
You know how hard that skill is?
Oh, it's unbelievably hard. People because look at it. I guarantee you.
Oh, you got to catch a ball.
Yeah, yeah. I guarantee there's a lot of people that are like, to do I don't it understand properly, what's so hard.
You got to be moving your hand, catching a ball at the same time and dropping a tag in one
and not
fluid
only that,
motion.
Think about how close, with all the replay now in baseball and how close it is, think about how close those plays are and how many outs he's probably got you because of his ability to do it better than everybody else.
Look, the ability to drop that tag, especially in the age of replay.
Right.
Because I've contended for years, and I'm sorry to break your stream here, but the majority of slide and tags where they get called out, no.
A lot of times they're not out.
They're not out.
Seeing
they
that,
were safe,
so
but in the rule.
I'm not going to give you majority, but we're seeing
but
it.
But the rule as written was not applied. The rule as enforced was catch the ball, drop a tag. If the ball and the tag, you know, if the ball gets there before the runner and you drop the tag, we're calling them out.
Well,
unless it's obvious.
So this is going around, right? So. Let me paint the scenario for you, and Tony's already, you know, giving you a bird's eye view of some of the talent we're talking about. The Dominican is no different. I mean, their talent is unreal, right? So
loaded,
right? So picture this scenario, folks. So we have two outs. The Dominican's down two. Nelson Cruz, of all people, is up and walks. You know, so you think, okay, well, we got by Nelson Cruz. We're still up two. There's two outs. But who comes up behind him? Adrian Beltre, pretty good player, right? So here's Adrian Beltre. Well, what we see on TV is they do not hold Nelson Cruz on. Now, anybody that is aware knows that Nelson Cruz is not exactly fleet of foot, as the St. Louis Cardinals will attest to from his antics in right field in game six. Thank you very much.
He wasn't fleet of foot because he needed to creep in closer so he could be in the celebration.
Right. So,
which didn't happen.
So anyway, he's not exactly fleet of foot, right? So they don't hold him on. And you're sitting there and you're watching the game and you're thinking, man, Adrian Beltre, the way these things go, you could just see Beltre hitting a home run. He's a theatrical guy. He's a big time player. He's hit big time. You're just picturing this happening, right?
Dude has a sense for the moment.
Okay.
He does.
Well, guess what? Another guy that has sense for the moment in big stages is Yadier Molina. And I mean, as a baseball person, okay, and I consider myself a good enough baseball guy to be dangerous, in something you never thought would happen, I don't care if they're holding him or not, Nelson Cruz, since they're not holding him and he has taken a little bit of a bigger lead, takes off for second base. Yadier Molina throws a cannon down to second, and Javier Baez tags him out, which is now being called one of the coolest tags ever. So paint the picture. Yadi throws it, and it's so on the money that Javier Baez, as he gets to the bag, he never watches the ball get in his glove. He points at Yadi immediately as the ball is about to hit his glove. He catches and tags while he's almost running towards Molina out of excitement. Okay, now. Cue forward. What we have here is a society that is trying to decide, is that okay? Did he show up the other team? Did he? Listen, number one.
No, he complimented his catcher.
Well, okay. And number one, let me say this. I'm an old school baseball guy. I'm on record. But I do think some things we've gotten a little crazy with. The old school thing, as far as it coming to that, I would like a little excitement in my game. And here's another thing. Genuine excitement. Okay, it's okay with me. That was a genuine moment. Stage stuff, like some of the goofy stuff they do. And like, I want the NFL guys to have fun, but I don't want the stage stuff. Just have fun. Terrell Owens grabbing the popcorn or grabbing the pom-pom.
If it's spontaneous, it's fine.
You know, but the phone calls.
No, if it's rehearsed, no.
I don't want to hear it. So this was a spontaneous moment. So, you know, it's been going back and forth. Is it okay? I'm a proponent of them playing with this type of emotion all the time. There's arguments back and forth. Could they? It's 162 games, da-da-da-da-da. They're not playing for their country. Playing, you know, I think free agency plays a big part in why you'll never get that emotion. That's another topic for another day, although very real. So, you know, everybody's been going back and forth, and that's fine. That's what our show is, right? We're just here to give an opinion, right? I mean, nothing. I mean, how much? The only thing factual are the things we know, and we all know those. Well, on my Cardinal show yesterday, First off, everybody's aware that Yadier Molina is having some contract things with St. Louis. Benji's been a little outspoken about that. So we talked about it, right? We also talked about the World Baseball Classic. And I asked him the question if he thought it was okay. And he thought it was tremendous. And what he said was, the problem is, and this is a great story, so you're kind of getting some inside information here. And Tony, this is great. You'll love this. He said what had happened was they did not hold Nelson Cruz on purpose in hopes that he would do that.
Yeah, they baited him.
They baited him. And typically, the way it was explained to me by Benji is, a lot of times if you don't hold a guy and you allow him to do that, a lot of times you just give the base up because the run really doesn't mean anything technically. Although I think it does earlier in a game because, you know, if for some reason he was to get there and then a base hit, like to the right or left, and not if he scores. So I'm not buying that completely, but I get what he's saying. Typically, if you don't hold the guy at first, you're giving him second, which I thought was odd with Adrian Beltran. But now you know why. They baited him, right? Because, I mean, how many ground balls does Adrian Beltran hit down the right side? Not a lot.
No.
Okay, so why would you feel the need to play the first baseman back, right? So you can go back now and use your mind and realize they really did bait him into doing this.
Oh, yeah. Which I, so, you know, so this on. Happens a
so
lot
So here's
more.
The best thing, okay? So Yadi tells Javi Urbaez, if he goes, I'm throwing it. So be ready. Don't just be like, oh, well, we gave him the base. Lo and behold, he takes off and Yadi throws it and Javier. The whole thing was is that the reason he was so excited is Javi could not believe that it happened. He's like, you just told me it's going to happen. And it reminds me of a great story that Jim Edmonds, he didn't just tell me, he told a room of 70 people at a first pitch dinner. Said that everybody remembers like back-to-back nights in Cincinnati quite a few years, not quite a few, but a few years ago. Jim Edmonds had made two of the most unbelievable catches you'll ever see on back-to-back nights.
He went into the center field grass.
Right. Yeah. And one of them, he kind of turned around and went backward. It was unbelievable. So the first night when he did it, he said after the game, they were all sitting around probably having a beer. And Jason Isringhausen, who was the closer for the Cardinals at the time, everybody was talking about it. And Jason, probably trying to get on him a little bit, said, hey, how come whenever I give one up, you don't climb the wall and catch it for me? And he said, hey, the next time you give up one, I got you. Okay? Next night, they go back out, they play, and lo and behold, what happens? Jason Isringhausen's on the mound. He gives up a long ball to center. Edmonds robs it, turns, runs in. Edmonds says, yeah, I look like a little kid, and everybody talked about the exuberance and the joy. It was because we had just talked about it, and it just happened.
That's the thing.
That is just spontaneous joy, and right. That's what's missing. If we had more of that in the game of baseball, I don't think we'd be talking about shortening games.
No, we wouldn't. One of the greatest things about baseball, I forget who, man, I heard this when I was a kid, and I don't know who said it. Or if it's even attributed to anybody. But the most exciting thing in baseball is that anticipated home run. When you're all thinking it, and then it happens. So whether it's a home run, or whether it's the big strikeout, or you know whether you see the ball hit to the gap, and you're like, oh, he's got a chance, he's got a chance. And speaking of Edmonds, I mean, it's the finest catch I've ever seen. Game 7, 2004, NLCS. I know everyone will give Mickey Mantle the credit for greatest catch of all time. My mind, it's Jim Edmonds. Backwards diving catch over the shoulder. Oh, come on.
Well.
That's superhuman. Forget about it. On a line drive?
Yeah. Well,
come on.
Well, what I will say is there's been some amazing things that have happened within a game of baseball. And when you think about all the things that have went on and how much we enjoy all these things, I want spontaneous joy. That's just what I want. I'm not begging for anything. I'm not asking for anything. The joy of the chase. You bring it up, like when you're waiting for the home run, and it happens. I remember thinking this about Mark McGwire the year he hit all the home runs, because, and I know there were a few others that we would put him on the watch, but the two that I remember the most, and one of them was never going to happen because of where he played, but it was an unbelievable first half. And that was the year Jack Clark had, like, didn't he have, like, 30 home runs at the All-Star?
1987, I can, because I will detail this for you.
Yes.
The night that he hit his 22nd was, like, June 15th, and he hit it in extra innings, just a laser.
Yes.
Okay, and it was one of those things where, oh, the count's 2-0. Yep. Boy, if they make a mistake. Oh, look at that. It's gone.
And again, he was known for hitting the ball so hard. I don't think he'll ever go down as a prolific home run hitter.
No.
But my point was that it was close to home because we love the Cardinals. And really, Busch Stadium was not a hitter-friendly park. So the fact that he was doing this, so people were starting to go, man, he's on pace. You know, you start hearing that. the one that that I remember the most was Matt Williams. Matt Williams from the Giants was on a torrid pace. And then I don't know, did he get hurt?
When was it early 90s or late 80s that he got
either
that
got
pace?
Hurt or really tapered off. So when the Mark McGwire thing happened, I remember as a fan sitting there and going, it's got to stop at some juncture.
Yeah, it didn't,
I mean,
though.
He's got to, and it didn't. And I remember watching it. And the amazing thing to me was, I remember sitting at home one night with some friends, and we were watching the game, and I think we might have been having a beer. And I said, well, I was pretty young then, and I remember saying to somebody, you know, the amazing thing about this to me is, this guy shows up, he's got, at this juncture, now I'm talking about when he had like 50 home runs, right? 50s over, and the whole world's watching. And I went to a game, and I mean to tell you, the flash bulbs going off every time he swung a bat.
It was incredible.
It was incredible. The press, I mean, when you went to a game, I'd never seen that before except for the World Series game I went to in 87. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing all the trucks outside, but I had never seen anything like it. I mean, the trucks that were out around Busch Stadium were unbelievable.
Oh, it was incredible.
Packed, the flash bulbs, and he just kept hitting them. And I just kept going, holy cow. Now, you know, obviously, he likes to say that he still thinks he would have hit all them home runs without Andrustin Dione. That's fine. But my point is, it was amazing that he was able to just keep doing it for whatever the reason. So I just like all of this. I like all the spontaneous. I think there needs to be more joy in the game. I think you can have fun without being disrespectful. There's a lot of people that say, well, he disrespected Nelson Cruz and the Dominicans. It's like,
but can I say that Nelson Cruz disrespected Yadier Molina by even trying to steal?
Well, yeah, but the truth is, it's like, I'm going to try to take what you give me. Listen, and then the interesting part of this, if you've seen anything, is supposedly, quote unquote supposedly, the first base coach said to Nelson Cruz, don't even try it, and all Nelson Cruz heard was try it. So if that's true or not, I don't know. But be that as it may.
It never seems to work out for Nelson, does it?
No, it just doesn't.
It just always... just one off.
You know what? And I'm not quite sure Nelson even cares. He's just going to – listen, anybody that hits 40 home runs in Seattle right now,
they're
pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
So anyway, but listen, I want them to continue to play with this joy and excitement like we saw. I mean, last night was awesome, the Dominican and Venezuela. You know, I don't know. I like it. I like it. I wish the U.S. And listen, they're all great players. I mean, that's the thing about this, is a good pitcher at any given day can put this thing to bed. If you're from Team USA, boy, though, wouldn't you like knowing you got Kershaw going?
Oh, I know.
You got Trout batting third, Harper batting fourth. I mean, you got...
Well, if you want to get it over, that's where you're going to need to take it. Now, I've heard the discussion, Jim, and I don't know the right answer. Should they conduct this during March? Or every 4 years, should they donate July?
That I don't see that ever happening. They're not going to halt the game. It's not good for the other sports, I don't think. You'll never convince me it's good for other sports when they do it. As a fan, when they do that with the Olympics, awful. I mean, it pisses me off. So I think you kind of have to do this.
Well, then do it in March or back it up in March even a little.
I mean, I don't see it.
Every 4 years, if the schedule went down by, let's say, a week, would you care?
Yeah, but when do you want to do it? What'd you say?
Every 4 years.
And do it when?
Do it from middle of March to into April.
So just start a week later.
Season starts a little later.
Well, it takes more than that, like that time, though. I mean, this is going to culminate into, like, was it 3 weeks?
Yeah. Yeah, start mid-March, end early April.
So you don't want them to start as soon?
No, wait till, again, here's the thing. They're always going to be in these warm weather cities. You've got, for this to really catch on, you've got to get it off the coast, and you've got to get it north and central. So it's great that they're in Miami. It's great they're at Petco or at Dodger Stadium or at Angels, but you got to be in Texas. You need to be in Chicago. Come on. You want to have success? Get that Mexican national team up to Chicago, okay? Get the Italian team playing at Yankee Stadium.
Be good.
Okay? Those are the things you need to do. And again, if someone can claim the heritage the correct way, I mean, can you imagine the Italian team that you could have fielded in the 1930s?
Well, yeah.
You go. Here's your starting center fielder, Joe DiMaggio. Here's your starting left fielder, Dom DiMaggio. It would have been incredible. Sorry, I'm sick as a dog.
No, you're okay. Yeah, I hear you. I guess, yeah, I got you. I like it when they play it out of country. Because, listen, let's be realistic about this. What is this for? Why is Major League Baseball supportive of this? They want to grow their brand nationally.
Internationally, yeah.
Yeah. I'll be curious to see when the United States plays this game, the attendance. How it is.
Well, they had 16,000 the other night. What? This weekend, I'm suspecting. I want to see a crowd of 30,000 plus down there.
Why is it not sold out?
Well, it's San Diego.
Okay, well, it's still the United States.
I know, but if you're at Anaheim, and if you're at Dodger Stadium, a little different. But, well, I mean, here's your games. United States, Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico versus Venezuela, U.S. versus Dominican Republic. I'd be in for every one of those games if I was out there.
Well, okay. I mean, I'm curious. I'd like to see a little more out of us as a country on it. Now, again, it's new. Got to embrace it. And again, I guess where I'm going with this is,
hey, look, Jim, the Soccer World Cup didn't really take off until Pele arrived.
I understand that. So you're reiterating my point.
Damn right I am.
If Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, Clayton Kershaw are on the roster, I think we've got a better chance of.
There you go.
Listen, winning's one thing. We got a better chance of growing this thing if those guys play.
That's absolutely right.
And if they don't have a current injury that they're working off of, I don't understand why they don't play.
You just have to incentivize them.
There's not one. Yeah, but why? They all are. They'll have more money than they'll ever know what to do with. Why?
Because
do
you got a union and you got an agent who are going to be harping in their ear. That's why.
Okay, now you're reiterating what I talked about last week. This is stupid. You shouldn't have to do anything. This is when you walk in and say, hey, how'd you like to wear your country's jersey and go play against the best players in the world? Where do I sign? Now, I also understand we all owe a certain amount of loyalty to our employer. In this instance, it's a game dictated a lot of times by health. If you are a health risk or have an injury concern or you're coming off something, somebody's invested a lot of money in you, I got no issue. But when you're completely healthy and you're playing spring training games instead of playing there,
it doesn't make sense.
I got issue.
It does make sense.
Well, you don't want to go down there and get hurt. Okay, you can get hurt in a spring training game.
This is the same thing, and again, soccer has faced this reality since the clubs became bigger than the country. And this is where baseball still is, because the clubs are bigger than the countries.
Somebody asked Yachty if the Cardinals asked him not to play, and I'm assuming that came from because, you know, he's not a spring chicken anymore. Yeah, yeah. And his answer was, they know better.
Right.
So my point is, these guys
also have an insurance policy if something happens.
I understand that. But my point is, these guys, you can't keep them away.
You shouldn't be able to.
It seems like some of our American players are happy to sit at home.
Well, the Americans need to embrace it more. Huh? Because truly, the Latin players, the players from Asia, even the players with European roots who might play for Israel or Italy or Spain or the Netherlands, okay? You're not going to have to twist their arm. You're not.
Right.
They're going to do it. Part of the reason why? It's because of the Soccer World Cup. They've seen what it means.
Right.
What it means is if you do well in a World Cup setting, your overall brand for the rest of your life is forever changed. You are in a sphere that very few human beings can ever reach. And that's the Pele sphere. That's the Franz Beckenbauer sphere. You don't even have to be a soccer fan, but you've heard those names, right,
sure.
Jim?
I had a pair of Beckenbauer Adidas.
There you go. And there's why. There's why.
Yep. Been there.
So, again, Harper, Trout. Next, you know, you're going to still be in the prime of your career next time this rolls around. Get in there.
And here's the other thing, too. If I understand they have a loyalty to their team, and I can appreciate that, and we have all this stuff going on, but Under Armour pays Bryce Harper a lot of money. I'm sitting there going, hey, why aren't you playing?
Ultimately, it also helps the club. Okay?
Sure.
Because here's what happens. When somebody in the Soccer World Cup goes on and puts a show on, and then when the domestic season starts and they return to their team, wherever their team may be, whether it's in Europe or South America, suddenly that team is elevated because that player is on it.
Well, again, I want the joy in the game. I like it. I like what I'm seeing. I'm bought in, okay? I'm not, you know, the topic of the day is always bat flips and this and that.
Yeah.
But you know what? My favorite as well. I have to explain to my kid why he can't bat flip. then explain it to your kid. Tony, you mentioned something earlier that I know is a hot topic with me, and it's something we could talk about later. But I get the whole steroid thing with the kid that committed suicide. But, where's mom and dad? Sorry. You know, the dad that wanted to blame Mark McGuire for his kid committing suicide, where are you at? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
That's a harsh reality.
I don't know where Mr. Houghton was at.
Where are you at?
Yeah.
Did you maybe have your head buried in the sand and not asking the questions that nobody else was at? I don't know the answer to that.
No.
My question is, I'm not in the business of blaming other people for either myself or my family's misfortune. I'm not in the thing of doing it. Okay? I always said it. I'm not going to blame Ozzy Osbourne because my son is rough at school because he listens to Ozzy Osbourne records. I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it.
No, okay? Do your job, parent.
I'm going to do my job, parent. Yeah. I'm going to do my job. You do your job, I'm going to do my job. And my job doesn't consist of blaming other people for my family's inadequacies. I will assure you that will never happen. That's where we've gotten as a society. It's got to stop. So anyway, that's a whole nother show. Man, I need to start a new podcast about parenting ideals. What do you think of that? So, anyway, hey, good stuff. I enjoy this. I love doing this show.
You got any predictions on this weekend?
Whew, well, I would have said originally, can the United States match the intensity level of Puerto Rico? But they might be able to. Now, they've got some quiet guys. Like, Paul Goldschmidt's pretty, like, humdrum type guy. Adam Jones is an exciting guy. Ian Kinsler's a little quiet, but I think he's that quiet fire. They got some players. I mean, they can play a little bit here. I like it. We're going to see. I mean, I was looking at it, and I'm just sitting here trying to figure out, you know, who has the upper hand in this game. Man, it's going to be hard to beat Puerto Rico.
It is.
Just because of where, you know, how it's going for them right now. Sometimes a hot hand. But listen, I've said it once. I'll say it again. These games always come down to a pitch here or there.
No, here's what I think you can – bank on. It's going to be close. It's going to be entertaining.
It should be very entertaining. Hey, hope you're entertained by Bleacher Bums Podcast today. We encourage you to go to bleacherbumspodcast.com. It's where we house the podcast. Give us a look. Check out some of the past episodes. You can listen to this one as well. It's also the easiest way to subscribe to the show. You just simply click subscribe to the podcast. It'll get you right through it. Every time we release a show, you'll just get a notification letting you know it's ready for you to listen to it, when you want to listen to it, and how you want to listen to it. Of course, we appreciate everything on Twitter as well. If you're a baseball fan, we are going to follow you back. We are at Bums Podcast. It's where we find some of these great stories that we love to talk about. If you have something you want us to talk about, simply communicate to us. You can do that through Twitter, at Bums Podcast. You can also do it through Facebook, Bleacher Bums Podcast. We love all your interaction there as well. And, of course, you can email us, info@bleacherbumspodcast.com. You have a subject you want covered, we're happy to cover it for you. Special thanks again to our friends at lineupmedia.fm for hosting us in their fabulous studios and letting us be a part of the fastest-growing podcast network on the planet. Your time is valuable. They appreciate that. The entertainment value at lineupmedia.fm is second to none. You will find another show, I guarantee you, that is worth your entertainment time. Give them a look, lineupmedia.fm. Tony, great show today.
Thank
really
you,
appreciate
my man.
It. For Tony Hubert, this is Jim Cromer. We are the Bleacher Bums. See you on the field.
Today's show is presented by DaVinci Smart Drink. Order yours now at lineupmedia.fm/DaVinci. DaVinci, excite better thinking.
Need a mental boost? DaVinci Smart Drinks were designed with professional thinkers in mind. With key ingredients shown to improve cognitive function and increase mental energy, DaVinci Smart Drinks excite better thinking. Drink a DaVinci. Let it go to your head.
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.